السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب دامت بركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا فيو حضرت مفتي صاحب. May Allah Ta'ala grant you afiyat. May Allah grant afiyat and bless you with good health. This platform is yours.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم معنا سليم كريم. جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians, brother Junaid Khan and brother زكريا. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 19th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1446. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, we focus on Surah Swad, chapter number 38 and verses number 21, 22 and 23. Before we continue with today's lesson, just to recap, we are discussing the incident, the episode of Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam, Prophet David, King David. In Islam, to be a prophet and messenger selected by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is much, much superior and greater than being a king. But the Jutlas and the Jews, always their outlook will be materialistic. So they're not really interested in Prophet David, they are interested in King David. And you can see that on their flag also, the white flag with the blue line on top, with the blue line at the bottom, and the Star of David in between. The blue line on top and bottom means their hopes, aspirations, inshallah, which will never ever materialize, and that is Eretz Israel, the greater Israel, min al-Furati ila al-Nil, from the Euphrates River there in Iraq, right up to River Nile, and that will make you understand what really is happening in the world today. Second one, Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam, Prophet David, King David. We say Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam's name, nami, isme grami, honorable name is mentioned 16 times in the noble Quran. And it means that he runs very fast, always ready and prepared to go into battle and rise up to the challenge. And Almighty Allah Jalla wala blessed him with wisdom. Almighty Allah blessed him with kingdom as well. First and foremost, the first prize is prophethood. And Almighty Allah blessed and conferred upon him a wonderful, melodious, golden voice. So now he had various duties. So he had now divided his time in three. One, to deal with the public and the people and so forth. One, his personal ibadat and his own worshipping Almighty Allah in solitude. And third was his family time and resting time. So that is how he did. So this incident we are doing now is when he was in his own chamber, in his own room, in solitude, and worshipping Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and making dhikr and remembering Almighty Allah. So during that time, this incident took place. Chapter 38 and verse number 21 to verse 23. Wahal ataka, and did it come to you, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-istifham li-tashweeq. So this istifham, this query is to create that interest in you, to create that curiosity in you. So Allah Jalla wa Ala is addressing the Master, and the most precious to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla in the entire universe. So did this news information come to you? how you as a father, grandfather, grandmother, you dare tell your children, come here. Then we close our fist and we say, see the sweetie, the chocolate, the money I have for you. And then that grandson, granddaughter, your son, daughter comes running to you. You embrace them, you kiss them. And remember, if there's nothing in your hand, then that is deception and not permissible in Islam. So we should be clear on that as well. So that is just a simple example that will resonate with our puny little brains. So it can never be the same like what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is saying, but it's just for our puny little brains. So Allah is elevating the rank, status of the Master Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wahal ataka, and what did it come to you? The news, Naba'u. Naba means news, breaking news. The plural, Al-Amba. And you know, in Arabic, when they give the news, so they'll tell you Al-Amba. So Al-Akhbar, and that is the news. Breaking news, naba'un ayn khabarun ajil. So that will be breaking news. Wahal ataka naba'ul khasm. And has it come to you, the news, the information, naba'ul khasm. Me and you, if we argue, we debate, we are now people who are disputing regarding a certain matter. So you call that, you must remember, khasm. Did it come to you, the news, the information of those people who are the disputants, that they are the one disputing with one another and so forth and so on? And remember, if you read Surah Yasin, which we're supposed to have done already, then they all, Mighty Allah Jalla Wala uses this word for these people who are the enemies of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Islam. And what all Mighty Allah states, فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مبين أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانِ. What does this human being, the masterpiece of Allah's creation, أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ, does he not see we created him or her for that matter, مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ, from that semen and sperm. And now when he grows up, he or she thinks that now I'm a BA, I'm a CA, I'm a DA, I'm a MA, and so many things they think of. The pride and arrogance gets the better of them. فَإِذَا, and then suddenly, هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ, he becomes the opponent of all Mighty Allah openly. Surah Yasin, chapter number 36 and verse 77. So هَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمُ. So خَصْم will refer to the disputing parties, disputants, and the person himself is called a khasim. So now you and me, Allah forbid, have to go to court. So now we are khasim for one another. We are the opponents and disputants of one another. So when did they come to Nabi Dawud alayhi salam? He was in solitude and he was in his mihrab. Idh tasawwarul mihrab. Suddenly, what they did, they climbed over the fence there in the mihrab. Whenever you go to a masjid, a mosque, where the imam, the leader stands, and you see that niche, that semicircle, so that is called mihrab. So mihrab gives us direction. We have to face the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa, the holy cube for you non-Muslims, the place where which will give us direction. So we don't worship the Baytullah or the bricks and so forth, and the blocks, we worship Almighty Allah Jalla Wala alone. But remember, 1 million, 2 million people plus, the imam, the leader will just say, stow, itadilu, in less than a minute, 1 million, 2 million people show their love for Almighty Allah, show their love of imitating, emulating the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and 1 million, 2 million people are ready to start the prayer. So we should know, mihrab, we're fighting the Satan and Lucifer, we are fighting our nafs, our ego, our lust and desires, and we are fighting what society demands from us. So that is mihrab, that to fight the enemy. So therefore we have a direction in life. So he, Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam, Prophet David, in his solitude, now he's praying, crying, begging, petitioning Almighty Allah. Suddenly these enemies, these people came. He taught them to be enemies initially. So tasawwarul mihrab, they scaled and they jumped the fence. fence, and they came and did right in front of him. There by the front door, there was a guard, but they came from the back, and they jumped the fence, and so forth. Al-Mihrab, in his chamber, in his room. So what they did is, دَخَلُوا عَلَى Dawood. Suddenly they entered by Dawood alayhi salam, two of them, and he's alone there. So فَفَزِيَ مِنْهُمْ, hence he got frightened from them. For a Nabi, a prophet, a messenger, selected by Almighty Allah to get frightened, it's a natural thing. These are people, I don't know them, and they just came without permission, and in the early part of the morning or what have you, and now they came and intrude in my privacy. So that was a natural response. How prophets and messengers fall ill and so forth. So to show that they are human beings after all, but not ordinary mortals like me and you. One stone is the stone that is there on your street. One stone is there by your diamond shop and your diamond place. And one stone is the Hajar-e Aswad, the black stone. The word stone is used, but remember, everyone is different. So we will say, prophets and messengers, remember, are human beings, but not ordinary mortals like me and you who commit sin and vices. No, they are protected by divine protection, always remember that, and they have many, many more other unique features and characteristics. They receive wahi and they receive revelation, sometimes directly from Almighty Allah, and most of the time they receive it via Jibreel alayhi salam, the archangel Gabriel. فَفَزِيَ مِنْهُمْ, hence he got frightened. قَالُوا, they said, لَا تَخَفْ, no, 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 don't be frightened, don't be frightened. You see, there's a matter here, we got dispute. Khasman, we are two opposing parties. So one the plaintiff, one the defendant. Baga ba'aduna ala ba'adin. That one party is making zulam, oppressing and rebelling against the other party. Now we have come to you. You are the prophet, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. You are the king, King David. And you are the qazi, you are the judge. Fahkum baynana bilhaq. We request you, O Dawood alayhi salam, pass the verdict amongst us litigants and against us disputants. Bilhaqli wa justice. Wala tushtid. Please, we beg you, do not be unjust. So this was something you must remember. They said, obviously, that Nabi Dawood alayhi salam will pass the verdict according to the justice and the best of his ability. وَهَدِنَا إِلَىٰ سَوَاءِ السِّرَاطِ, and you guide us to the straight path. You see, سَوَاءِ السِّرَاطِ, sirat will be the path, and سَوَاء will be the straight path, the correct path. So what is the dispute? So the one person spoke, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي, you see, verily this is my brother. Brother here does not mean brother biological, coming from the same parent or one parent. Nay, it means brother in my tribe, brother in my partnership, and so forth and so on. So that's the meaning there. لَهُ تِسْءٌ وَتِسْءٌ نَعْجَى, he has 99 sheep. He has 99 sheep, and I, وَلِيَ نَعْجَةُ وَاحِدًا, and I only have one sheep. So I have one, he has 99. But what does he say? فَقَال, he, the one with 99, says, أَكْفِلْنِيهَا, hand it over to me, and I will then maintain it, look after it, and so forth. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ, and he is much more eloquent in his address. So he has more sheep than me, he can speak much more eloquently, and so forth, and so on. So please, Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam, we want you to pass a verdict based on justice regarding this issue. What is the verdict? Tomorrow, inshallah. Take this one incident and apply it in modern day time. You have a rogue, apartheid, terrorist, Nazi regime, the illegitimate child of Britain and America. It's called Israel. It has hundreds and hundreds of nuclear, but Iran has maybe one, Pakistan has one, and they say, no, they cannot have the right. That is the haramis. Therefore, we say the biggest harami and biggest terrorists and illegitimate people on this earth are America and Israel. Remember, both super terrorists, and they will tell the world, we're working for a ceasefire. But who gives them all the material support? Who gives them all the arms and ammunition? Who vetoes things there in the United Nations and so forth? Remember, you as Muslims and you as non-whites, they is everywhere double standards. For the whiteys, they will say never again must there be a Holocaust. But when they are guilty of Holocaust for 77, 78 years, then they will tell you collateral damage. They will use some fancy words, euphemism and so forth. I don't say every whitey, but I'll stick to my guns and say majority of the whites in the world are racist and people who consider themselves superior to others. I've traveled so many parts of the world, and if you can't see that today, what is happening in Gaza and Palestine, Gaza al-Mubarakah, and what is happening in Lebanon, Beirut, and the southern sides of, you must remember, southern suburbs of Beirut and Lebanon, then you must be blind, obviously. Then we make dua for you, Allah remove the jaundice from your eyes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is the 19th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1446. Gaza genocide, day number 353 today. And we present to you the news, views, interviews, locally, nationally, globally, and internationally. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Three jutlas injured, dispatched to hell and being roasted and toasted. Many others injured, and they are on their way into transit to going to hell. Alhamdulillah, we're very happy about that. Now they want to play games. You see, the hasbara, the propaganda, and the fabrications of the Haaretz and of the Jutla newspaper and so forth. Is Yahya Sinwar dead? Is Yahya Sinwar alive? Is he wounded? And so forth. So remember, Yahya Sinwar knows your games. He spent 22 years in your prison, 4 years in solitude. He by-hearted and mastered, remember, your Hebrew language. So inshallah, he is just staying aloof, and then he will come back, inshallah, with new tactics. So inshallah, he is still alive, and you just want to create chaos and fear. You can't capture him, so therefore you are frustrated, you chutlas, haramis, terrorists. I'm asking you, look at this news now. Smotrich, the minister there of finance of Israel, the rogue regime, and he's 100% harami and a terrorist, so he tells the settlers in the West Bank, steal more land and occupy more land. This is our land. So where are you, America? Where are you, Britain? Where are you, Europe, you whiteys? So if it was a Muslim or an Arab person, long time you should be called a terrorist. After all, didn't you say that Russia invaded Ukraine? Same time sanctions, same time they must be called this, they must be called war criminals, and so many things you disqualified them and so forth. Just yesterday you kicked out the team of chess from Russia and so forth, and said no, they cannot participate in the chess championship and what have you. So why not the same thing for Israel? What's so special of Israel? There's nothing special. You'll want to cause more turbulence in the Arab lands and in the Muslim land, but you come with that smiling face that no, we want peace, we want democracy, we want, you must remember, human rights. For who? So where is the human rights and democracy in the rogue apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel that has martyred and murdered more than 200,000 people? For us, the Jutlas and the Jews and the Hindus, the Mushrikeen, they are our worst enemies, majority of them. We don't say all of them. That is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 5, verse number 82, the last verse of the six Jews, the sixth part of the noble Quran. But similarly, one of our worst enemies are the Kuffar Shias. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, "Hum ashaddu alayna min al-Yahudi wa al-Nasara." They're even worse than the Jews and Christians against us, because gharkachur, that people will consider them as Muslims, but all the time they will stab us in our back. So go read Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's masterpiece Minhaju Sunnah against the Rawafis and Shia and Kuffar. Go read his fatawa and verdict. is a masterpiece. You will find so many things there against the Shias. So they are both our enemies. One side Hizbu Shaitan called Hizbullah, and on the other side the Jutlas. But on this occasion we will support Hizbullah. So Hizbullah fired so many rockets, 100,000 plus Jutlas ran for their lives and they gone to shelters, and Hizbullah says we will continue firing the missiles there into the northern side of Israel. As long as you attack Gaza, we attack you. You have a ceasefire, then we will stop attacking you. Israel says no, we're going to bring back our 60,000 Jutlas and place them there in northern Israel and so forth. So remember, upper hand now, advantage to Hizbullah. There they shot so many and destroyed, demolished so many houses, so many Jutlas wounded. They will be killed also, and some got killed, but the Israeli media will always play it down, the Zionist apartheid media. So all of them are complicit in this crime. Why Smotrich, Ben Gvir are still not named terrorists? Why are there no sanctions on them? Because they are Jews? Because they are settlers? Because they belong to Israel? Because they are whiteys? Come on, America, Europe, you're good for nothing. We saw your hypocrisy. We saw your double standards everywhere. It stinks, remember, from the White House to Tel Aviv, you haramis. Bibi, the harami, the war criminal, the butcher of Gaza, says, I'm going for total victory in Gaza. I'm going for total victory against Hezbollah. He even forgot about the hostages. Hey, Israelis, your hostages can go to hell. That is what Bibi is saying. Come on, rise up, Jutlas. Wage a civil war. And then you must go and tell Bibi, we're going to hang you. Smotrich and Ben Gvir, we're going to hang you. Come on, you guys, Jutlas, haramis. You have to fight. Quran says so. Chapter 59, verse 14. Ba'asuhum bainahum shadid. The war amongst them will be very, very severe. Tahsabuhum jami'aw wa qulubuhum shatta. You think they're united, but their hearts are totally fragmented and disunited. See the double standards. 1.5 billion people in Africa. Oh, Africans from Egypt to South Africa, just see America, who you are worshipping and who you bootleg half the time and most of the time. United States of America, they should call it the Divided States of America, says Africa must have a permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council, but they must have no veto. So why must you have a veto, America? Why must Britain and France have a veto? Why must Russia and China have a veto? But because we are not your color, we speak other languages, many of them are Muslims, so no veto. Go to hell, America. We will sort it out in the battlefield. One settler, one bullet, one American, one bullet, if you come to Palestine or you come to Lebanon and so forth. That will how we will sort it out. IDF raids Al Jazeera. And where they raid them? Right in Ramallah, which is under the Palestinian Authority. And they stole, not seized them, they stole. Jutlas are the biggest crooks on this earth in Israel. They stole the whole of Palestine. So they stole all the equipment and everything of Al Jazeera, and they suspended them for 45 days. So where's the press freedom? Where's the democracy? You murdered over 100, 150 journalists in Gaza, and you want to come tell me you're a democracy? You have the most moral army in the world. So remember, you are the most immoral army in the world. You are the super terrorist, and your father, illegitimate father and illegitimate child, both of you are both haramis. America, Britain, Israel, the evil triangle, remember, the rogue regimes, all three of them are guilty. Sri Lanka has a new president, remember that. Last time election, 4 or 5 years ago, he won 3%. They used to mock them and call them the 3% party. Now he's the president there. So we see, we've been there, the Buddhists, and they're also anti-Islam. So now 100,000 Jutlas to flight, and when they'll come back, you know, their pressure has increased by 225%. A normal person, when they check your pressure, 120, 80, these haramis is gone to 1,000 and 1,000. Jutlas are the biggest cowards on earth, remember that. Every, hey, you Britain, Starmer and Sunak, where's Sunak?
and Sulah, the two Hindus, they thought they can speak against Muslims and they'd send them to Rwanda. If they don't like Rwanda, send them to Modi. So both all terrorists, haramis, they want to call us terrorists. Every hour there's a rape in London. Can you believe that? This is your newspapers. These are your media. Every hour, a rape in London, supposed to be first world, and supposed to be, you understand, the safeguard of human rights and so forth. Just like America. So every hour they rape, they are harming our Muslims, either in Guantanamo Bay, or either Dr. Afia, or either they got you as a suspect and so forth. So all of them are the same, France and all. Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Al-Mamlakatul Arabiyatul Saudiya, is today celebrating the 94th National Day. So it already started Friday, Saturday, Sunday, today, Monday. Today is the 19th of Rabi'ul Awwal 1446 in Saudi, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa Mubarak, Palestine. It's the 20th of Rabi'ul Awwal, but it is the 23rd of September. Saudi Arabia, the kingdom, they like, you must say, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Al-Mamlakatul Arabiyatul Saudiya was established on the 23rd of September, 1932. So how can it be 94 years? They say they're celebrating Yawmul Watani, the national day, were there on 23rd September. But when they count with Islamic calendar. So it's 94 years already. And remember, this whole function is haram from A to Z. That millions and billions of riyals, dollars, will be used and spent. And they will have music, they will have fire display, fireworks display. And the kalima is written on the Saudi flag. La ilaha illallah and Muhammadur Rasulullah and so forth. I've been there many times with Allah's help. And I saw what they do. They take the flags, they just throw it here and there. Some people trample upon it. People who do that, they sane and mature, they murtad straight away out of the fall of Islam. Trump rules out, Trump trumpeting away. Trump rules out running in 2028 if he's defeated in this year's elections. Trump is history, it looks like. Imagine an Indian woman with some kari khichdi and garam masala and some pickle. Judge Pickle was in the Old Bailey in the 70s. Read about him. He's an interesting judge. Judge Pickle in the Old Bailey. So Trump rules out. I think he's going to lose and we'll have an African lady, an Indian lady. Not that she's our friend. And they're all enemies of Islam and Muslims and Palestinians. So remember the Trump assassination was staged. Didn't I tell you that? Yesterday all these news were breaking. Both the assassination attempts were staged. I told you day one. There's a whole thing here. You see, that he's not the man of the year. He's the man of the ear. Ducking Donald Duck. They just make you fools. Now look at how they make Modi a fool. America. America is very upset. Why are Russia and China, Russia, you must remember, and India progressing? And their trade, whether we like, don't like, India is progressing far, far ahead of Muslim countries. As far as their trade goes, their human rights with the Muslims, Sikhs, Christians, that's a different issue, and terrible, horrible it is. So the American president, that is Biden, and the U.S. administration first met with the Sikhs who want an independent state, Khalistan. And then they met with Modi. Is that not a smack in the face? Obviously it is, unless you're blind, that's a different thing. Thousands are protesting the new government there in France. Macron, the Hitler, will fall this year, inshallah. Or next year, he also will be history. Harris, Kamala is too busy. She says, I don't have time for interviews. Because she will have to make a statement regarding Palestine, regarding Hezbollah, vis-a-vis the rogue terrorist Nazi regime of Israel. So easy way out. I'm too busy. Elections and so forth. Switzerland to expel hundreds of Russian scientists. You must remember. You see that? But they told us that Switzerland, we see that these countries, they tell you, we are non-aligned. We are neutral countries and so forth. So where's your neutrality now? They told us when I went to Zurich, they told us that no masjid is allowed with a minaret, you know, with a long tower on top and so forth. Minaret in English. So that one place I saw there was a minaret. They say no, this is the Ahmadi center. This are the Qadianis. Kuffar, they allowed them. But Muslims, they won't allow them. That's your double standards. So Russia, Putin winning all the way, and he's giving America, NATO, Europe a good thrashing. Well done, Putin. Today is day number 940 with the conflict there. South African news, that Lanesia, the people who are defaulting on their payment, they cut their electricity in the weekend. You must pay. But you see, if you ask them why you didn't cut the electricity there in Alex, or here in Soweto. So see what the answer they'll give you. But we are Indians, majority here, you see. So everywhere there's double things going. You must look at things holistically and not selectively. Snow there in New Zealand. Annually said New Zealand. Snow in Newcastle, Ladysmith. And there on the entry. But now the roads are open. But still be very, very careful. Then the commentators say it looked like Switzerland. But so many people missed their salat. So many people had no food, no water, no medication. Some people even abandoned their cars and they went, you understand, with the security and with those people who were helping them. Allah have mercy on one and all. Today our program on 19th Rabiul Awwal Monday will be 8:30 to 9. Mawla Zahid will interview me, and that will be regarding Lebanon and Hezbollah, the history, geography of it, and so forth. And thereafter, 1 to 2 will be tafsir, commentary of the Noble Quran. 2 to 2:30, our report back, our trip to Renfontein near Azadville. And I went to Azadville also for lunch, so we'll give you some history, geography there. And then Saturday, went to Heidelberg, my hometown, Heidelberg. So all that we'll speak about, 2 to 2:30. Very interesting, inshallah. Tonight, inshallah, with Hafiz Wadi, will be the Q&A. And that will be live on Sirius FM, Radio Al-Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, inshallah, inshallah al-Aziz, between 8 and 10 tonight. So that's our programs. Maa Salim Kareem, we have 20 minutes, then I have to read my sunnats, and then I have to go masjid. So let's fire up for 20 minutes, Maulana Salim, Barakallahu Fik.
One, as you know, what happened on Friday and Saturday, the snow that fell in KZN, lots of Muslims were stranded. The question number one, can you make wudu with snow? One, can you read your salah on top of snow? And number three, for the salah that's being missed because you could not get off the car and read your salah, what is the Shariat's masla in these three maslas?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Very, very interesting issues and maslas these are. Number one, just look at the greatness of our jurors, whether Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, those who came before them, those who came after them, Rahimahumullah. Rahimahumullah, Almighty Allah grant them the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. In Islam, if you have water and you can make wudu, then you must make the ablution. But if you are so old or sickly, the water will be really harmful for you, or there is no water at all and so forth, then you make tayammum, and that is ablution with the sand, that you just tap your hands, your palms there, and hit it, strike it on the sand, then you just rub your face one time, and remember that is after you have dusted off all the dust from the sand, and again you strike the land and sand, and then you make massage. You just wipe your right hand with your left hand, including from the fingers right till the elbows, including the elbow, and then the left hand. So that's all. That's called tayammum and ablution, sand ablution. Then if there's no water and there is no sand, so the fuqaha and jurors have called it faqidut tahurain. So faqidut tahurain, no water really available, no sand really available. So in a case like that, you must remember that what will happen. So we will say that in a case like this, that they read their salat on that time. So although there's no water, there's no sand. Why? Ihtiraman lil waqt, to show respect to that salat time. And when they reach their destination or a place where water, sand, and that is available, then they must repeat that salat. So that is what you should have done. And I mean, let us be honest, it's so cold there where it's snowing and so forth. So come out of your vehicle is a big problem. Now for the people to go and make wudu there, it's not really a practical solution. And according to majority scholars, will not be permissible. Also, you need ma and tahura. So therefore, remember, that will not be a real practical option. So in a case like that, there was no, and you couldn't go anywhere. So therefore, in a case like that, you should have practice on that. Now, those of you who miss salat, one salat, four, five, six salat, make qada of it, and every day for the rest of your life, read two rakat salat to tawbah. To miss salat is no small thing, it's a very, very big thing. If people miss salat deliberately, ma salakakum fi saqar, qalu lam nakum min al musallin. What made you enter Jahannam and the hellfire directly? So first thing they will say, we never read salat. You see that? So that is why we have that issue. You should have read salat in your vehicles and so forth. So because the halat and the conditions were such, and then repeat it, remember. And now you must make qada of that salat there. Fajr, you will make two rakat. Zuhur, you will make two because you musafir. And Asr, you will make two. Maghrib, three. And Isha, two. And Hanafi say you make two. And then the three witr also. Shafi'i is Malik is humble, they say two. And remember, you don't have to make qada of the witr according to majority scholars. So that are the issues. And understand this one Quranic verse and understand this one hadith. Then you will understand the severity of it and so forth. We can't be taking this as something very light. It's very serious. Surah 74, Surah Muddathir, and verses 42 and 43. Ma salakakum fi saqar. What made you walk into Jahannam and you went straight there? Qalu, they will highlight their crimes. First thing they will say, lam nakum min al musallin. Go read Surah Muddathir, chapter 74, verses 42, 43, 44, 45, and so forth. Allah protect us all. Then Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man taraka salata mutaammidan faqad kafar. That people who must salat deliberately and so forth, you will be on the verge of going out of the fold of Islam. Majority scholars say the person is still Muslim, but you are very on the brink of leaving Islam. But Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and their fatwa, go see Al-Mughni by Ibn Qudama, and then, and go see Kitabu Salat of Hafiz Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, celebrated student of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. When people must salat deliberately out of the fold of Islam. So it's a very serious issue. So therefore, I'm telling you, informing you, make qada of all the salat, and for the remainder of our lives, let us make to salat to tawbah daily. Ya Allah, we committed so many million, billion sins, but you are ghaffar, you are ghafoor. Ya Allah, you said, chapter 39, verse 53, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever become disillusioned and never despair in the mercy of Allah Jalla wala. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. Chapter 39, verse 53.
Mufti Saab, on the same token, a question comes in. Can you use snow to make wudu?
Remember that if it becomes in the form of water and that, then you can use it. But the thing is this, for you to go out of your vehicle and it's so cold and you might get more sick, and then with children and women and so forth and so on. So halat conditions will change from person to person. What the fuqaha call, the jurors call, ra'yul mubtala bihi. So every person will judge his own situation and use his own discretion.
Another question is that if the ice is 1 meter high and one brave musalli wants to read namaz on top of the snow, will his namaz be valid because it's not touching the ground?
100%. Very good. Allah reward you, my brother. Your salat 100% valid. The argument that it is 1 meter high or 2 meters or half a meter high, that argument doesn't hold weight. When we are in the plane and we are flying to Makkah, to Jeddah, we are flying to Dubai, flying to India, Hong Kong, New York, London, wherever. So we're not on the ground, but we tell you it's compulsory upon you to read salat on time. So that argument does not hold weight. Remember that. So many a times you must remember, I'm reading salat here, I'll be reading sunnats here. You must remember, so now I read salat upstairs, now I'm reading salat downstairs, but let's say I read upstairs, so it's not on the ground. So remember that. So you read salat in your high story buildings and all that. So remember, so it's attached to the ground, so it's fine. So that argument doesn't hold weight. Your salat is valid. If you did that, brother, honey and lakum, but that will be the exception. Not everybody can manage that. So Quran Kareem states, chapter number 2, and remember the last verse of Surah Baqarah, and that is, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa hus'aha. Allah has not burdened any person, but according to his ability, capability, capacity. Verse number 286. So that's the last verse. So therefore we say, we will look at it on an individual cases, and ra'yul mubtala bihi, that's the terminology you use.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to face your feet towards Qibla while asleep?
Surah 22, verse 32, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whosoever shows respect to the symbols and landmarks of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, so that is the sign of taqwa and piety of that person there. So therefore, each one of us should know that show respect to the landmarks of Allah, and that is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 22, verse 32. Hadith, sahih, authentic hadith. Even Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, said is sahih. So I use that to explain to the Salafis, because when we explain to them this masla, sometimes they agree, sometimes they don't agree. He, Habibuna, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith mentioned in sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, wa sahahu al-Albani, if you want the whole abarat and text. So, man tafala tujaha al-qibla ja'a yo who spits in the direction of the Qibla, the Baytullah. So the cube there in Makkah Mukarramah, because we have non-Muslim listeners to make them understand. That saliva, that spit will be on your forehead, between your eyes, to disgrace and humiliate you. So therefore, for a person to keep the bed and sleep in the direction of Qibla and so forth is undesirable, is makruh. Just put the pillow on the other side, so you'll still get sleep. Many a time we go to hotels and so forth and so on, we musafir, so what they worry about Qibla and all these things. So we just put the pillows on the other side, and then the problem is solved. You don't have to change the whole bed and all these type of things. It's all mind over matter. You'll get first deep sleep, inshallah.
Okay, so interesting question. If a person froze to death whilst it was snowing, is the person a shaheed or not?
It all depends on the journey. If the person was going to the Ijtima day in Vellum and so forth, so he was going for something very good. Allah accept all the Ijtimas coming up in South Africa, Africa and the whole world. So then he's considered a shaheed as a martyr. But the person is going for a jol, he's going for a big party there, he's going to swim with his girlfriend there in the ocean of the bikini and the stikini, and you know it goes there and North Coast and South Coast and all that, and Middle Coast also, Central Coast, Durban got many coasts, you know that, Maulana, you know better than me, and the intention was already haram. An-ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur, wonderful, great usul, al-imam al-shafi'i, Imam Ahmad and them use, and we must use that. So bounties of Almighty Allah cannot be obtained via haram means. According to Shafi's Hanbalis, you went for a haram journey to Durban, holiday holiday and girlfriend, mistress, and you know, all haram activities, you're not even allowed to make qasr salah to shorten the prayer. You can't even make jama' bina salatain. You can't even combine the salat. Allah forbid the person, even though he's Muslim with iman, and he died, he froze to death, what they call? Thermal filia, filia, whatever, some fancy word there. So you must remember this, so that, like the term something, this, I just read it in the newspaper. So anyway, there, so people, they died like that, you must remember. So if he's with iman, Islam, and he went for haram journey, no shaheed business then, in that case there.
Okay, sahab, can I make one tawaf for multiple people?
100%, make one tawaf for billions of people, make umrah for billions of people, whether they passed away, whether they alive, and whether they come still to come. But the one proviso condition will be, they must be Muslim. You can't transfer tawaf to non-Muslims after your umrah, after your hajj, after your nafil hajj, voluntary hajj, after your tawaf and so forth. So before you perform the tawaf, or after you perform it, at all times you can make that intention, all permissible.
Mufti Saab, how do you treat a person who's become a murtad in the family? What should the family do with that individual?
Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith is sahih, authentic hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Man baddala deenahu faqtulu. When a person becomes an apostate, he was born Muslim, he left Islam, Allah forbid. He or she embraced Islam, and then after some time, then he or she became apostate. So the verdict today is that the death penalty for male and female, the hadith is clear in Bukhari Sharif, and the hadith for the women is mentioned in Dar al-Qutni, known as Hadith Umm Marwan. So that is our verdict, and that is we follow the Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbalis. The Hanafi saves a lady al-Habs, then you must imprison them, hatta tamut or tatub. But in this day, this age, we must pass the fatwa on majority scholars and so forth. So now we can't do that, so what we must do is excommunicate them, expel them from our family groups, mala salama wala kalam. On said next majalat dunni, we got nothing to do with you. You are a nun, you are a person non grata, as they say in legal jargon, you see. So it's wajib, compulsory upon you to kick them out, excommunicate them, expel them. Al hubbulillah wal bughzulillah. We love for Allah's sake and we hate and detest for Allah's sake. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad.
Mufti Saab, will this person inherit from his parents?
People who are non-Muslim and murtad will not inherit. Remember the Sahih Hadith, Tirmidhi, Mishkat, Mustad Ahmad. La yarithul muslimul kafir, walal kafirul muslim. So the non-Muslim will not inherit from the Muslim, and the Muslim will not inherit from the non-Muslim. On that there is consensus and there is ijma. So therefore no inheritance in this case. He, the murtad, murtadda, will definitely not inherit from the Muslim. His father, mother passed away. He or she will not inherit.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible to change our surnames? Also, if a female passes away, what surname does she fall under? Her maiden surname or her husband's surname?
Remember that we live in Western societies, and today when we look and study the Muslim and analyze, then 70-80%, the overwhelming majority, they are Muslim, but the thought process and thinking is just like the Westerners. White is right and West is the best. Why? Because day and night the TV is on. They don't have to shoot a bullet, but they already, you know, South Africa, the state capture, Guptas. So the kuffar, they have devised this plan how to capture the thought process, our minds. Your name will be Bilal, but your thinking thought process will be like Bali. Your name will be Maryam, but your thought process thinking will just be like Mary. So therefore this question comes. In Islam, when a lady gets married, you can maintain, retain your own maiden surname, Sayyida Khadija binti Khuwailid radiallahu anha, Sayyida Aisha binti Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha, anuma. So like that it is, so that is Islamic. Second one, you want to take your husband's surname, totally permissible, Islamic, there is no problem. These pseudo scholars, Salafis, and them blowing their hot air, they quote the verse, chapter 33, verse 5, Ud'uhum li'abaihim wa, or verse 4. So remember that in verses 4 and 5, you see that. So remember, Ud'uhum li'abaihim wa aqsatu indallah, that you must call them by their father's name. This is for tabanna and mutabanna. This is for the orphans. This is for the adopted children. So this ayat is to do lil waladiya. Got nothing to do with what zawjiya. So you'll quote wrong things at wrong places and so forth. You don't understand. So if you are married and you take your wife takes the husband's name, so all totally permissible. And if you want, you can do that. You combine it. You take your maiden name and you take your husband's name, surname, and you use that double barrel surname. So that's what we have done. You must remember that. So the ayah, chapter 33, verse number 5, Ud'uhum li'abaihim, is for adoption and got nothing to do with marriage.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to read the last ayats of every surah and blow in the water?
Quran, كُنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَى. The entire Quran Sharif is shifa. So any verse you read, mashallah, and you blow on the water, drink it, inshallah. I just told my family members going for Umrah and so forth, I said, drink Zamzam and read Surah Fatiha, blow on it, and give the children also to drink. And take the Zamzam also, and sprinkle it a little bit on their heads and so forth. And that also, مَا أُزَمْزَمَ لِمَا شُرِبَ لَهُ. Authentic hadith there in Ibn Majah. Whatever intention you drink Zamzam for, that water, pure Zamzam, Allah will make it so effective. Imam Shafi'i, born in Ghazza al-Mubarakah, 2 years old, his father Idris, his name Muhammad, his Idris passes away, buried there in Ghazza al-Mubarakah. Mother sits in Iddat and so forth, the waiting period, that is 130 days, and after that the migration to Makkah. What Imam Shafi used to do? Now he's 2.5 years old, 3 years old, drinking Zamzam, drinking Zamzam. At the age of 7, he completed Hifz. At the age of 10, become Hafiz of Quran. Age of 10, he ba'atan Mu'ta Imam Malik. Who's his teacher, oh esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba? The voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Muslim bin Khalid Azanji, the African teacher. At the age of 13, he's teaching already, lecturing in the Haram Sharif. At the age of 15, Imam Muslim, the Zanji, the African teacher, wa ajaza lahu bil iftar, gave him permission, O Shafi'i, you're a abqari, you're a genius. Start issuing fatawa, verbal permission he gave him. So that is what we need to understand. Zamzam, inshallah, and you read Surah Fatiha and so forth, any part of the Quran Sharif, but you read Surah Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi, the four kuls and all that, that will be excellent. Jazakallah khair, Ma Salim. I have to read my sunnat. Salat, yeah, is still 5:30, where I'm going to Majlis Sufi. And inshallah, then we'll continue tomorrow. Barakallah fiqh. Don't forget 8:30 to 9, the interview, and we discuss Lebanon and Hezbollah. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.